Well, good morning again, and welcome once more to all of you. You're in great voice this morning. That's most wonderful. Did you wake up at 6 o'clock, brush your teeth, and start singing to yourself in the shower or the mirror? Because you sound tremendous, and you have ministered to my heart. I hope you've seen that you're ministering to each other. We prayed at the beginning of the service and thanked the Lord for his powerful word, where he has revealed himself and given himself to us and shown us who he is and what he has come to do. And we've been doing that in song. And now at this part of the service, we're going to take a short time to reflect that and continue our worship to him with our Bibles open as we reflect on these magnificent, strange events of this year that we celebrate. I do want to encourage you to keep giving to the Christmas gift, all those proceeds over this December, January, as you give over and above your normal giving to those who are regulars here. I want to encourage you to really well up in generosity as we give to that wonderful gospel ministry. As Jabalani said, we'll take a collection. There's also the box up at the front, which is now appropriately wrapped in its own Christmas wrapping. You can give to that too, and of course, EFT, just reference Christmas gift for your EFT. If you want the bank details, they are on the board and on our website as well. But won't you just bow with me, and I want to pray, and then we're going to share some things together. Our gracious Father, thank you so much. It feels like we've almost reached the climax with O Holy Night, and yet there's more to come. So much more. So much more for us to ponder, not just in this short time we have left in the service, but in our hearts and our minds, much as Mary pondered these things in her heart as the announcement was made to her that she would be the one to bear the Savior of the world. Our Father, may we take time to truly ponder, to not allow our familiarity with the Christmas story to cause us to go to sleep now, to take no consequence of these things. Help us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We need the Lord's help as we come to his word, but I also need your help, particularly the children, to match some things together, because as you know, we have a number of things, excuse my back to you guys, a number of things in this world that just seem to fit and go together. So I'm going to ask Hannu to put up the first picture. Right, oh, okay, go back a sec. Well, at least in my mind, here's, if somebody gave you peanut butter, what would you say it goes with? Hey? Eat it plain, okay, all right. Bread, right, good. I happen to think, yes, we saw some other hands. I happen to think that goes alone. All right. I think syrup and peanut butter go great together. Next image. Right. I'm sorry these are all coming up together, but I was going to reveal the next picture as we go. But the surfboard, if you... Hannu can't do anything about it. It's not his fault. But if somebody gave you a surfboard, what would you say? It has to go with the perfect wave, right? Okay. And if you need some help with that, where's Uncle Ross? Him and his family, his boys, will show you how. Next one. All right. As I said last week, it's a good time to be a South African sports fan, right? Except I shouldn't trumpet Arsenal too much today. But Springboks, not just, hey? Yeah, they go with a trophy, right? We've become used to it, so we're waiting to see the next one. Those two things just go together. And, of course, a good braai with that as you're watching the World Cup final. And steak has to go in a braai. And bacon, well, I just figured it goes with everything, right? Okay? Bacon is my favorite vegetable. It's wonderful. So now what we've got up here is things that you might find strange that go together. Anybody know who those people are on this side of the screen, on this side? Anybody know who that is? Hey? No, not quite, but it is a composer. No, keep going. Might get there. It's actually Mendelssohn, right? Felix Mendelssohn. And the guy next to him is, anybody? Charles Wesley. Spot on. Great. Now, why are they up there? And then there's this other strange-looking gentleman in the corner with a song. Now, Felix Mendelssohn and Charles Wesley came together, though they wouldn't know it, in a rather strange way. Mendelssohn was a German composer, and he wrote a piece of music that actually celebrated the anniversary of the printing press, Gutenberg's printing press. And that was the piece of music he wrote. And he actually said of this piece of music, I think there ought to be other words to it. If the right ones are hit, I'm sure that piece will be liked very much. But it will never do to do sacred words. Little did he know that some 15 years later, his music would providentially be matched with sacred words, the sacred words of a universally loved carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You see, there were words that were without music that Charles Wesley had written and had been adapted a bit by George Whitefield, and music that was written without the appropriate words. But those two were brought together by this man who was a doctor of music. His name, let me get his name, William H. Cummings. And in 1855, he brought those two together and produced what we know today and will sing just now as Hark the Herald Angels Sing. In God's strange providence, he brought things which you thought might not go together, but they did. So, and they produced something so beautiful. Beautiful things happen, like when you eat bacon, right? Or you bring those other things we saw together. Now, those things might think, well, okay, they go together. That's great. Much like the union of voices and instruments and melodies that we have here today, blending so that it lifts up a beautiful tune to our ears, but also to our hearts, right? But when you ponder the Christmas story, there are things there that just don't seem quite right. There's a strangeness. There's a weirdness. There's a, if you think about it for a moment, I know we're familiar with these things just don't seem to fit. And the carol itself, which are words based on Luke 2 that were read to us, verse 14 in particular, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When you think of those words, I'm going to ponder them a little bit now, glory to God. Well, of course, Charles Wesley wrote that in Glory to God, and Felix Mendelssohn wanted his music to reflect glory to God. But when the truths of that song and the many others we've sung today and of God's word, when you really think about them, how do they bring glory to God? And what does that mean for me, glory to God, as I respond to these strange things? For words like this, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. It wants you to sing along. But can you put these things together? The Christmas story, if we're honest, is a coming together of strange things that don't seem to fit. Newborn babies, we like those. And we know the circumstances of Jesus' birth all too well. They just don't seem to fit. In a manger, in a stable, there was no room at the good inns. And born of a virgin womb, verse 2 of Hark the Herald reminds us of that. Born to die? A baby born to die? Doesn't make sense. Born to die, more than that, verse 3 of Hark the Herald tells us that we no more may die. You ever thought of that? What kind of a baby is this? Not just one to keep you up at night, but keep you from the sleep of death. And then this is called the newborn King. In fact, verse 2 of Hark the Herald tells us an everlasting King. This is no ordinary human King. This is a divine King. This is God in the flesh. But he comes in such a strange way to this earth. It doesn't fit together. It doesn't make sense, does it? And yet, the truths this carol reflects, these strange mysteries, reflect the heart of our humble, glorious God. And when they come together, they produce a remarkable beauty. They cause us to ponder the beautiful God, and they cause us to ponder the beautiful things he's come to bring, which only he can in the way that he did. The beautiful words of Hark the Herald, which reflect the beautiful words of God's word, tell us the whole reason for it. You may not be able to get your head around why God did it the way he did. It seems so strange, but let me just say this to you. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. And sometimes it's so strange, it just has to be true. You couldn't make this up, could you? Ponder it. If you're sitting here and you're wondering about these Christmas things and you hear them and you wonder what Christians are on about and why they make so much of Christmas. Ponder these truths. Go read them for yourselves. They are strangely beautiful, strangely true. The song tells us why and how the beauty comes. Verse 3 of the song, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Isaiah 53 tells us about that healing, that prophecy of the Messiah, this one who was to come. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Healed in what way? Well, there's some other words in that verse, and there's some other words in that song that remind us of what healing we most need. Born to give us second birth. What's that all about? Born to give us second birth? Born that we may no more may die and to raise us from the earth? And then there's a word, peace. 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 Which sums it all up. You see, what Isaiah was telling us hundreds of years before all of this happened was that the healing you and I needed, the peace you and I needed, the light and life you and I needed, the second birth we needed, that resurrection life we need, is to bring us to a God we have turned our back on. That peace comes to reconcile us to himself. That peace comes in Jesus, that we might no longer be enemies with God. You want to answer the question of how it is that we bring glory to God? The very first step is that we acknowledge that he is right and we are wrong. And we have got it so wrong in desiring to live life our own way. See, we are the sinners. See, God and man, God and sinners reconciled, two things that don't want to go together. Two things that want to push apart from each other because we want to live life our way. That's what sin is. Sin is desiring to live life in rebellion against God in the world he has made and say, no thanks, I'll do it my way. That's how we choose to live. But God will not leave us there. God calls to us. God calls us to come back. God calls peace to us. That peace that the angels announced, they're more like warrior angels than pretty little angels that might sit at the top of your Christmas tree, at least if you've got one there. These are warrior angels, not announcing a nice little greeting, but signaling the end to the greatest war in history. You see, hark, the herald is telling us about that. He has come to bring peace between man and God, and only he can. See, we need to understand this great news will only be truly understood if we understand the bad news first, that we are the ones who are enemies of God, and we are destined to be apart from him forever unless we turn to his Son, who is the one who brings peace. And how does he do it? Well, all these songs have been telling us. He is the one who dies that we might have life. He is the one who takes our sin and punishment on himself. See, here's this baby, but don't leave him in the manger. He lived a perfect life because he had to be our perfect sacrifice. And he died the death that we should die. And he was raised to new life to show us that he could conquer death and be the one who gives us forgiveness of sins and that resurrection life that raises us spiritually from the dead, that we no more may die. But I have to come and see that I'm a sinner in need of that. That's what this is all about. And that's what it means to give glory to God. You see, glorifying God in my life is no longer living apart from him. It's coming to him. It's receiving him in faith and repentance and saying, I need you. You alone can save me and help me each day from here on to live a life that glorifies your name. As I close, let me tell you about another man. This time, not a composer, but a French scientist. Blaise Pascal. He died at the age of 39. And when he did, A small piece of parchment was found sewn into the lining of his coat. It was a handwritten account of the precise moment when, at the age of 31, he experienced, it's about my age? No, not quite. He experienced a joy unlike anything he'd known before. This is what the parchment said. 1654, Monday, 23 November. From about 10:30 in the evening to about half an hour after midnight, fire. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of philosophers nor of the scholars, certainty, heartfelt joy, peace. God of Jesus Christ, my God and your God, forgetfulness of the world and everything except God, joy, 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 tears of joy. What was happening to Pascal here? As he read his Bible, he encountered Jesus himself. He encountered peace. Dear friend, this morning, all these songs, all that we're doing, all through this Christmas season, every time we meet, the reason we do, the reason for the season, the reason for our very breath, the reason that we live, the meaning we have, the mission we have, is all about him. Because he has brought peace, and only he can. Can I say to you this morning, you may be at your wit's end, come and find peace. You may be weary and heavy laden, come and find peace. You may feel your life is in ashes this morning and you don't know where to next. Come and find peace. You may be overwhelmed by your sin and your guilt and the meaninglessness of your life, feeling ticking over day to day. Come and find peace. Come and find Jesus. He is to be found of us. He has come and stepped onto the stage of heaven. Not that we might say ooh and ah and sing carols here and there, but that we might embrace him and be embraced by him and live each day for him. That's what it's all about. If you want to know more about coming to find Jesus, we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to help you. Please seek me out, and you'll see some people who look regulars. I don't know. Jabalani was up here. Others who are up here. Come and speak to them. Speak to our staff. Email us. Send us a message. We'd love to tell you more about the best decision you could ever make in your life. Like Pascal, like Charles Wesley, like many others who have written these glorious carols for us to sing, come and find peace, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. Let's just for a moment bow our heads. Father, even as we continue to sing and as we close the service just now, will you be at work in our hearts and our minds? Will you give us great comfort that these things are indeed true, strange though they seem? And that when they come together, so to speak, when you, glory of heaven, come to earth, beautiful things have happened. And that beauty is seen in transformed hearts and lives, which give back in gratitude and worship of you each day. May that be true of everyone sitting here this morning. May that be true of many more in this Christmas season. O Lord, save, we pray. Amen.